We're going to go to our main reading now. We're going to continue in Titus, reading Titus chapter 2, verse 11, and then chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 on page 1199 in the Church Bible. Titus chapter 2. Starting from verse 11, let's hear God's word. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. Well, it says in Touch that actually this is called living while we wait. However, the more I went through this passage, the more I looked at it, the more I wanted to change that in some respects. And this morning, what I wanted to do in some respects is focus just on one verse, particularly that jumped out at me. What I wanted to do is reread that passage again. And we're going to use it as a sort of a summary as to what we've already looked at already. And that is really how we should live as Christians. So let me just reread the verses that summarize what we've already learned from verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. On to chapter 3. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. That really, in many respects, is a summary of what we've already learnt in chapters 1 and 2. As Paul writes to Titus, a young pastor in Crete, he says to Titus, I've got to go on my ministry. I leave you to tie up some loose ends, to appoint elders in every town, to sort out a few problems to do with some false teaching, and to build the body of believers up in how they should behave now that they have put their truth and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the main essence in many respects is that God is a saving God. As I mentioned at the very beginning of this service, God is a saving God. You have to look through this letter in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, his word to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. Verse 4, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. In chapter 2, verse 10, in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. Verse 13, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, verse 4, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. And verse 6, whom he poured out on us generously through Christ Jesus our Savior. The theme running through this is that God is a saving God, and he saves his people, and he changes his people. And that really is the essence of what we've already looked at is that if you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. And your saved life looks like something. Your saved life looks like something. He mentions in verse 11, for the grace of God brings salvation. And that's just worth highlighting. If you have struggled or you struggle with perhaps grace in itself, then in here, in the context of Paul writing to Titus, think of it less of a character of God and more of a person. Grace has appeared. Grace is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has appeared, and through him and through his appearance, we are now taught to say no to ungodliness. Grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Grace is not an excuse for ungodliness, it is the reason for godliness. And in chapter 2, we've looked at Paul encourages Titus to teach the younger men and the older men, the younger women and the older women, how to behave now they're saved. How to say no to ungodliness. How they are to look in a wicked world. That really is the summary of that. He says then in chapter 3, some more tips, some more instructions, some more words. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility to all men. There is some more instruction there, just as in chapter 2. This is how we are to behave. This is what we are to do, to look saved and be attractive to the gospel, that people will see us and be attracted to the gospel. So that's our summary. But the main point, really, that I want us to bring out is this, is that the Word of God has authority. The Word of God has authority on your lives. And that's highlighted in verse 15. That's the verse that's jumped out at me on this passage here. Let's read verse 15. Paul says, as he summarizes everything in chapter 2, he says, these then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Titus is a young pastor, a young leader, a young teacher, just as Timothy is as well. And Paul tells Titus, that teacher of the word, to preach and teach, to tell the people with all authority. And we can't really escape that word. It's there, and we've got to deal with it and tackle it, because we're not always good with authority, really, are we? Do you misuse your authority if you have it? Do you perhaps rebel against authority? Authority is not really in vogue at the moment. We're all equal, we all have the same rights, and well, authority is all a little bit oppressive, isn't it? Do we misuse it, or do we rebel against authority? There's a story in goes round all the time. I don't know if you've heard it, but in the Navy, I heard it when I was serving. I don't know if it's true. It sounds true. But there's this American warship sailing near the coastline, and on its radar, there is a contact, a little blip. Assuming that it is another ship, the captain goes to the bridge because they're on a collision course. The captain gets onto the radio and he reports and says, unknown ship, this is the U.S. Enterprise. Change your course. A little time later, the radio crackles and a little humble voice comes onto the radio and says, U.S. Enterprise, I suggest you change your course. Well, that, of course, invokes the anger of the captain. He's an important man. He's got an aircraft carrier at his command. And he gets onto the radio and says, "Unknown vessel, this is the US Enterprise. Change your course." And he says it with more passion and more sternness. And the voice humbly replies back, "US Enterprise, I still suggest that you change your course." Well, now the captain is livid. Unwilling to look embarrassed in front of his crew, he then gives it one last chance. "Unknown vessel, this is the captain of the US Enterprise. I am a United States aircraft carrier. I suggest you change your course." And the humble voice replies back, "US Enterprise, I am a lighthouse. I suggest you change your course." A lighthouse on a rock is not going to be moved. Now, did he abuse his authority? Sometimes we have an overestimation, perhaps, of our authority. But here, Paul teaches Titus to preach and to teach with all authority. So what is that word? Let's see if we can unpack that and make it a little bit more palatable. Well, in the Greek, the word is called epitage. And unfortunately, essentially, it is a military term. It means to command. To command, to give an order. And that word crops up time and time again in Scripture. So it's just as powerful as it sounds. Paul says to Titus and to Timothy, preach with all authority. With all authority. Command people. Order people. And that's the meaning of the word. Well, now we're getting uncomfortable, I guess. What is the essence then of this authority? There are three things, really. Firstly, the content. What is the content of the authority that Titus is given? Verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, "Titus, you must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine." Teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. And verse 15 then, "These are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority." That's the bookend, really, of the things in the middle. The characteristics of being a Christian. But you are to teach sound doctrine. In chapter 1, Paul tells Titus to teach sound doctrine, in other words, healthy teaching, as we've already studied. And in chapter 2 is what is in accord with sound doctrine. In other words, the things that look like healthy teaching. That was to the young men, the older men, the young women, and the older women. A similar passage in 1 Timothy 4. Let us turn, if you can, to 1 Timothy 4. Timothy gets the same instructions. Verse 11, 1 Timothy 4. Paul says the same things to young Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 onwards. "Command and teach these things. Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through the prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you." There's an indication there of what has authority. If we move to 2 Timothy 4, we will get an even clearer understanding. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, Timothy. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. There is the essence of the authority. He says to Timothy, he says all through his epistles, preach the word, the word, the word. Paul is a man of the word. Finally, let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians 2. Verse 13. Paul again writes these words. And we also thank God continually because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. There we have the essence. It is the word of God, accepted by the Thessalonians in those that believe. That is where the authority comes. The content of the authority is the word of God, delivered to men and to women. But churches are walking away from this. Churches are walking away from that. A time will come, and the time is now, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. People don't want sound doctrine. People don't want the word of God delivered with all authority. We want entertainment. We want sound bites. We want snippets. We don't want too much. We don't want too deep. We don't want life-changing words. And listen to the essence of that. It becomes the hearers that dictate that people, hearers, will gather around them people. Gather around them people. And there will be preachers and teachers who are willing to please the people. And that's how it works. The congregation have the rule, and the preachers and the teachers capitulate to the desires of the hearers. We're all guilty of it in some way and some respect. Now, do you want me to go on for an hour and a half? Probably not. But that might be more to do with my abilities and my delivery. You might want sound doctrine, just maybe not from me or maybe from somebody else. And there is a great lesson for preachers and teachers as well as the hearers about how we do preach and teach and how we deliver the word in life groups, how we teach in life groups, how we preach. And we can always, always do better. And we need encouragement to do better. Each and every one that stands up here, everyone that teaches in a life group needs encouragement. But not encouragement of what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Because churches are moving away from preaching the word of God. That's the content. It is the word of God. It is not suggestions. It is not ideas, it's not our thoughts, it's not little homilies, it's not snip bits. There's no authority in that, only in the word of God. Secondly, then, the method. What is the method of this authority? We have the word of God, which has all authority on our lives. What is the method of that delivery? Well, again, in verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, teach. Teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. He then says in verse 15, these then are the things you should teach. So the word there in the NIV is teach, but the word in Greek really means speak. That word in Greek means speak. good old-fashioned speaking. It is by speaking and people hearing that they are convicted. Yes, we can read the Word of God. Yes, it has authority. But in this context, Paul is teaching Timothy, as well as Titus, that it is to speak the Word of God. To speak it. To preach it. To teach it with our voices that we may hear God's authority on our lives. He also says then encourage. We are to speak it and we are to encourage. Some translations say we are to exhort one another. And the meaning of that word really is to get people to respond to it. To get people to respond to it. In person. To take ownership of the word. How many times have we perhaps sat listening, perhaps maybe, to something that's difficult to take in, maybe a rebuke against sin, and we've gone, well, yes, that applies to them over there, but maybe not to me. God's word applies to each and every one of us, and we are to take ownership of it. That's the word exhort, and the preacher and the teacher is to deliver the word of God so that you take ownership of it. And then he says rebuke. We are to speak, we are to encourage, take ownership of it, and then we are to rebuke. The preacher and the teacher is to rebuke with all authority. And it doesn't really mean tell off. The Greek meaning of that word simply means to create conviction. To create conviction. For the hearer to feel the weight of God's word upon your souls. That it brings about a change in your life. To get the hearer to feel the weight of God's word, and it is weighty on your souls. And also, with all authority, to get you to feel the weight of God's word if you are in rebellion to it. If you are not in obedience to it. And to get people to feel the weight of God's word that there is spiritual danger if you do ignore God's word. There are plenty of uplifting and wonderful and encouraging passages in the Bible, but often men and women buried in their sins need to be convicted deeply, remorsefully of their sins for them to repent and to feel the weight of God's word upon their souls. So we are to speak, encourage, and to rebuke with all authority. And preaching is going out of fashion, isn't it? There are not many churches that will want more preaching, more teaching, more exhorting, more rebuking. How many people running to the preachers and the teachers of the church and the elders going, I want more of the preaching, more of the rebuking, more of the exhorting. I want to change my life and be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Exhort me, rebuke me. Now maybe you do want that, but we need to encourage those that do that well. Thirdly then, we've got the content is the word of God delivered with all authority. The method is by speaking and preaching predominantly the word of God with all authority. And finally, what is the extent? The extent of this authority. Who is it for? How far reaching is it? Well, verse 15 tells us that. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. Do not let anyone despise you. And he says to Timothy, do not let anyone look down upon you. And there are two facets to that, really. Yes, Titus is a young pastor, a leader, and a teacher. So is Timothy. But do not let anyone despise you. In other words, no one is above God's authority of his word. No one, not one, nobody is above God's authority of his word. Christian or non-Christian, God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2. God's authority through his word impresses upon, as God saves through faith, non-Christians. He saves non-Christians through the power and the authority of his word, that they repent from their sins, they place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the authority is for Christians as well, that they may be changed by acknowledging their sins, by repenting of them, and being more like the Lord Jesus Christ as they change and become like him. And that is the essence of the letter to Titus. The word of authority over Christians and non-Christians alike. And he says, do not let anyone despise you. So the word of God, the authority of God's word goes to everybody, Christian or non-Christian. And he says, do not let anyone despise you. Well, that word in Greek means to evade. To evade. Do not let anyone evade your words. Titus, if you are preaching God's word to the hearers, don't let anyone evade it. It also means to rationalize or to talk your way around. So, preachers and teachers, life group leaders, anyone who delivers God's word is to do it to everyone, for God's authority through his word is to everyone. And don't let anyone evade, because we do that, don't we? We rationalize our sins. We talk our way round scripture. Ah, yes, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that. Or, well, my translation's a little bit different from yours. We do try to evade our sins. We do try to evade God's word that calls upon our hearts. And for hearers, we are to hear God's word and we are to humbly accept God's word. If it is God's word, there is no authority really around or outside of God's word. It has to be God's word that impresses upon your heart. But we are to accept it and to be obedient to it. So that's the extent to everyone, Christian or non-Christian, and to not evade it. We have a command there, a responsibility to take it face on and to accept it. Because, of course, we don't necessarily like it delivered, perhaps by a preacher or a teacher. We might see or feel the weight of God's word upon our hearts and our souls, but maybe we prefer it if we just read God's word and let the Holy Spirit do its work. And I've known a number of people who have said in the past, perhaps, that they don't like preachers delivering God's word so directly, looking you in the eye and telling you not to do something. You know, that's a little bit too direct. It's a little bit too prescriptive. A little bit too harsh, perhaps. A little bit too narrow. Or maybe even opinionated. But if it's God's word, then that is God speaking to you, asking you to take ownership of it, and asking you to deal with it without evading it. So don't blame the preacher for delivering God's word. Blame him for not delivering God's word. Finally, let's just look at perhaps the importance of it. And the perfect example is Jesus. In Jesus, in Mark 1, verse 22, Jesus went into the synagogue in Capernaum. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 22. I'll read from verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue, and he began to teach, or speak. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Jesus had authority. Where did that authority come from? Well, John tells us that in John 8. If you want to go to John 8, verse 28. Where did that authority come from, that the people were amazed? Verse 28 of John 8, he says, "So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him.'" Even Jesus' authority came from the very words of God. Very profound words there from Jesus, that he did everything that the Father asked him to do. How much more should we do? John 12, again, let me read to you John 12, verse 49. Just to drill home this exact point. John 12, verse 49. "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it." Even Jesus, the Son of God, says that the Father commanded me what to say and how to say it. And that's his authority. That's his authority. And that's the authority for us in the church. It's even the authority for us in mission. When we go out into the world and we use Matthew 28 as our rally call to do mission, is that we go out into this world to make disciples of all people. But Jesus said this, these are the words he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And there's that word again, command is authority. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." There is authority passed down to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the authority for us to go and make disciples by preaching and commanding people to obey. And here's the question this morning. We are all hearers, even those that teach, even those that preach, sit and listen, and we're all hearers. Do you want to respond to it as Paul is teaching Titus? Do you want your preachers and teachers to deliver God's word with all authority to your lives? And non-Christians, if there is anybody here who has not put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Those are God's words. Delivered with all authority by a sinful preacher, by a failed man, but those are God's words. And the question is, do you trust them? Do you trust them, or are you going to evade them? So we all, as hearers, have responsibility to hear God's word, to encourage the preachers, and to respond to it. And I pray and I hope in the weeks and the months And the years that continue on with When Baptist Church, we rally around God's word. We focus on it more. We desire it more. We do not want entertainment or stories or suggestions, for they will not help us become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We need, we desire, we are created to respond to God's word. And preachers, many of you teach in life groups, many of you preach as we have done whilst we haven't been with a pastor. This word is for you. This word is for me. This word is for anyone who desires perhaps to teach. That we are told by Paul through Titus, through his letters, to deliver God's word with all authority. Because God loves people so much, he wants them saved and he wants them to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be comfortable. He wants you to be happy and blessed by his presence and by the knowledge of him and by working and ministering for him. But in essence, he wants you, as it says in Titus, to be purified. And in love, preachers and teachers are to do that job. We're not to give stories or pleasantries, but God's word. As he says to Timothy, deliver it with patience. Deliver God's word with patience. For we are all stubborn and we all resist. But still, that is not an excuse for not delivering God's word with all authority. So something for all of us to think about. Something for all of us to grasp hold of, to encourage one another, to help us become better hearers and better preachers and teachers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life-giving water, that it is food, that it is health, and that it is eternity. And Father, we pray that we would always gather around it, make our decisions by it, encourage one another with it, help one another to develop more knowledge of it and deliver more power and authority of it. For it only comes from you. Father, help us to rid any ideas of authority outside of your God's word. And Father, help us to respond to it as the Thessalonians did, because it's not from men, but from who it really is from, you, God. So Father, we pray that you would help us to do that in the weeks and the months and the years ahead until we see you again. Father, work in our lives through your word, we pray. Amen.